In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Again, we're continuing our study, 2 Peter, chapter 1. Still chapter 1, we've been at chapter 1 for a long time, but still there, not quite done yet. And there's a lot to say still in that chapter. The idea, again, we finished 1 Peter and then went into 2 Peter. Again, 2 Peter is more of as we will see today, actually, how St. Peter is continuing to remind, as we talked last time, we were talking about reminder, the reminder, reminding his people about not to lose hope and not to be deceived by, specifically by the wrong teaching that are going on at that time, right? And big part of that was, again, that the Lord is not coming. The Lord is not coming, right? They had that idea that he's coming soon, as he said, and then that soon never happened as what they were expecting, what they were waiting. So they start to actually doubt. And then in the meantime, there was too many other teaching that that kind of made them more confused and made them more lost. So he's actually sending that second epistle, second letter to them, kind of like reminding them of to hold, steadfast, being aware of the wrong teaching, and being also rooted in the faith, rooted in the faith. So we'll continue with that chapter one still. And last time, what we ended up with, and I actually had to go and listen to the recording to so I can remember. So because I, but we were talking about the idea of where he was talking to them that. I am reminding you, this is my job. And again, remember, he took that from the Lord himself, from the Lord himself. And as we always said, we've been saying this throughout the whole study of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. When we read this, just again, remember that this is Peter, right? Peter and his encounter with the Lord, his challenges, his compulsive behavior, right? His everything, right? His beautiful repentance, his coming back, the hope that he received, the restoration by the Lord himself that told him that, I want you, follow me, as you will see today, right? So keep this in mind as we continue to the study of the letters. Let's read again, just kind of get into where we want today. Let's read again from five. I'll read from five and just kind of go through it so we know what's the context of what we're talking about today. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And remember, again, this is very important to remember. We said, the idea of add, it's not quite, accurate, if I may say that, as far as the translation. It's not just like I'm getting something and adding something from here and something from there. Maybe I'll pray more, so I'll add something. Maybe I'll fast more. The idea of actually, it grows within, grows from within, from inside, right? And that is the work of the Spirit. Then can one leads to another. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. And we talked about this for a long time. In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, how we can be ineffective. Not only that, we can be also what? Forgetting and blind. Remember those, like what we talked about, the spiritual aging, right? We talked about this on Sunday also a couple of weeks ago. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted, cannot see, that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. You will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance to the eternal kingdom. We talked about this last time, how although the path is narrow, but the gate actually here, according to St. Peter, is what? Wide, wide open. Wide open. And that beautiful paradox between that mindset, it is hard, it is narrow, but actually, I'm just waiting for you. I'm just waiting for you. It's wide open. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. We talked about this. Remind you, right? That Peter is reminding the people. The Lord is reminding each one of us. We should remind each one of us. And we have that responsibility that are we still actually agent of reminding ourselves with the call and with the purpose, or we are actually confusing each other more and more, right? So here, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. And then from 13, I think it right. And again, I'm reading from ESV, so a little bit different from what we have here. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir up by way of reminder. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myth when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God, the Father, and the voice was born to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So what's the point here? Again, as after he's telling them, you need to grow and you need to grow in the knowledge and grow in the faith and grow, you know, one thing will lead to another ending. Remember, again, we said it starts by faith and ends by love, by agape. And we talked a lot about the brotherly love, the Philadelphia, right? And the difference between that, like, this is not enough, right? No, you need to actually move on. And it's not like I will add because I am good, but actually that one thing, you know, again, remember the idea of growing from within. It's the action of the Holy Spirit that will get us from one place to another, leading to that. And then he is warning them with the idea of if you don't have those things, you're ineffective, right? Like, what good are you, right? And this is something big that he's saying, you know, be careful, you know, it's not, and we talked about also at one point, just to remind you, that it's not the idea that I'm seeking virtues for the sake of virtues itself, but I'm seeking virtues for what sake? To become like him, right? And there's a big difference. And sometimes, like, we just, you know, strive and struggle and try to be, you know what, I need to have this and have this and have that, which is all spiritual virtues, but for what reason? For what reason? Sometimes, you know, I just to prove to myself that I'm good, sometimes to tell people that I'm good, or do we have the understanding and the mindset like, no, all these things I need in order for me to become more and more of his likeness, right? And that's why I said, if you don't have these, if we remember, we talked about it, it's not just that you have them, but it's what? It's part of your being, right? If that is not you, right? So it doesn't depend on circumstance, it doesn't depend on my mood, doesn't depend on people nice to me or not. No, this is who I am. Those virtues, those things are part of my being, and it's there regardless. Right? And then with that, he starts to actually talk more about, okay, this is serious. This is serious. And that's why, as of verse 13, you know, again, verse 13 is the same thing. I remind you, right? To keep that relationship, keep that love, keep that understanding of the importance of having those qualities as who you are. That actually identifies who we are. And then it goes, I will make every effort. Sorry, 14. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Let's just, you know, look at those couple of verses here for now and see what are your thoughts. I like to, as I always do, I like to hear from you. What are your thoughts about those two verses from the flow of the text itself? What is he trying to tell them? Remember, again, he's saying that I will never cease to keep reminding you, right? And then he said that the reason for that is why, because I know that I will go soon. I will exit, actually, the word, and we'll talk about this. The word is exodus, right? Yes, I will exit soon. So what does that tell us? Any thoughts? Okay, let me help you. If you hear those words again, you know, putting off of my body is actually it's the tabernacle, right? Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, my tabernacle, right? So he's talking about tabernacle and then talking about, you know, putting off, right? And talking about the exit or the death. Where did he hear these specific words before? The Old Testament is one of them, very yes, but in his life, the transfiguration, right? You know, he's the first one who said, one, let us make three tents, three tabernacles, right? In Luke, when we talked about the transfiguration, he says that about the Lord and Moses and Elijah, they were talking about his exodus, right? And then he's saying also putting off, actually, you know, if you remember the passage that was, that the Lord talked to him, it's good to actually open it now. It's in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20 and verse 18 and 19. If somebody read it real quick and maybe you can bring it up here, because there is a point I'm trying to bring up here, which is very, very important. So John 20 from 18 or 18 and 19. That passage is part of the last kind of conversation between the Lord and Peter, right? When he's telling him that, you know what you think you're doing, you know what you're doing, and you're not gonna do that, but you know, and so forth. So what, if we read it here, it says chapter this 20. Yes. It's not 20. Why did I write 20? Is it 21 maybe? Yes, 21, sorry. 21, 18, and 19. This is right after he told him three times, do you love me, do you love me, do you love me? And then he said something that's very, very important. He says, most assuredly, I say to you that the Lord is speaking to Peter. What is he telling him? Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself, okay, and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Actually, the actual translation said to you know, when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Will dress you. So the idea here again, what do you see the parallel between this and between what he's telling them? The idea of what? Of taking off, right? Of taking off. So what am I trying to say? Again, two or three words from the transfiguration he's using in his dialogue with the people, telling them that I am going to leave, right? Again, the tabernacle and the Exodus. And then also that word or that idea of take off that body, take off the tent, right? So why those things are really kind of, you know, he's reusing them again, those words. What do you think?
Yes.
Yes. It became part of his normal conversation, right? That huge incident and that talking again, remember, the Lord is talking to him one on one, right? He's just kind of like getting him ready, right? And not only that, but after that particular passage that Daniel says, what in verse 19, this he spoke, signifying but what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Right? And you see that actually St. Peter here in this passage is saying what? I'm ready to follow him. Or I followed him and I'm ready to go what? To where he wants me to go, which is death. Right? So a couple of things. Couple things. Number one is the more we are in communication, in connection, the more we are attuned to his voice, the more that becomes our own language, right? I want to probably gonna talk about this more tomorrow also. But the idea of that he wasn't actually saying his own words, right? Why? Because that particular, these two incidents with him were very, 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 you know, life-changing experience for him. One of them is the Lord actually coming to him after the denial and restoring him back again and telling him, what, I love you and do you love me? And then not only that, he's telling him, what, this is what's going to happen to you, right? He like, okay, be ready for that. If you want to continue to love me, you want to continue to attend my sheep, you want to continue to follow me, this is where, this is what's going to happen. The people will actually undress you, right? As it says here, and somebody else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go, right? And after stating that condition, you tell him what? Follow me, right? And I think it's very, very significant that he's using the same words and the same mind that's occupying his mind, that's kind of like all over his mind, in the way he's trying to tell the people that he's addressing this letter, that, you know what, it is really, don't take it light. Don't take it light. Something that's very important, something that's very glorious, something that actually could be very, very, very fearful. But in the same mind, you know what? He was able to actually follow him, although the Lord gave him some kind of what? Precaution, right? Like, okay, they will carry you where you don't want to be. This is what will happen to you, but you still follow me. Are you willing to follow me or not? And yes, he said, yes, I will follow. With this mindset, you know, if we apply this to ourselves, you know, what did Peter do in order to actually follow, literally do that, you know, using even the same text here, that, you know, it's, I am willing actually now to take off, right, whatever dress that I have, that body, that tent, you know, I'm ready now to actually, you know, be with you, right? And I'm not running away from it. I will not run away from it. But actually, not only that, but I will actually still even use this as responsibility, that I have to actually deliver the same message for everybody else. Right? Remember when we talked about it in First Peter, people were actually what, under persecution and will endure persecution. Remember we talked about that, about Nero, the emperor who accused everybody because that they are the reason for the burning of Rome, and he's going after them and doing all those things. So he's telling them, you know what, you know, this is going to happen to you also. Are you ready to follow me or not? Right? If you think of several words that describe the reason for Peter to actually go through that, and not running away from the follow me, and ready actually to accept the fact that he is coming soon to do it, to die, to exit, to let go of everything. What are that? What are those things that comes to your mind describing, you know, or a reason for Peter to actually continue to that and not run away from that follow me with all the price that he has to pay? What do you think? Yes. Better knowledge, right? Right. Remember, as we said, you know, in the epistle, second epistle of Peter, I think we said the full knowledge is repeated almost, I think we said 13 times or 18 times, something like that. The full knowledge. So now when he was, remember again, the Lord told him what? When you're not ready for that yet now, right? Yeah. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. When you were what? Younger. Younger in what? Age? Spirit. Right? But when you are old, not that you are old now, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go. So the first thing that kind of allow us, again, we're applying this on ourselves, allowing us to actually follow through and follow him, even though we know that there is a price, is number one is maturity, right? When you were young, you do want to do whatever you want to do, right? But the reason I am here for you, the reason I appear to you personally, the reason I'm talking to you personally, because I want you to grow up, to grow up. And once you grow up, you're able to actually go and follow. So this is one thing, which is maturity. What else? What else? And as we're answering that, again, reflect on ourselves. Like, what is it really now that is standing between me and between fully following him, because I don't want to pay the price? We don't want to pay the price. We want to be comfortable, as we were talking with Abuna Abraham a few months ago or so. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We want to be comfortable. We don't want to pay the price. I'll follow you from a distance. But stretching my hand and somebody else will dress me and stuff. Again, imagine that. Like, what, you're going out and then you have your outfit and ready and everything. Like, no, 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 no. You don't know what you're doing. Let me dress you. Right? Let me dress you. But you just have to be ready and what? And to follow me. So what else? One is maturity. What else? With maturity comes what? What else comes with maturity? Surrender. That's what you're saying? 100% surrender. Did you see my notes or anything? No. Surrender. Surrender. And one word that we always say, but I think it's very, very, very hard to apply, right? What does it mean to live a life of surrendering ourselves to him? What does it mean? What does it take? Let go, okay? Yes, yes. To trust, right? Again, I always say the you know, maybe it's not very applicable here, but if you go to Africa or to Egypt, you know, if a little child is trying to cross the street in the craziness of Lagos or Cairo, right? Right? And looking around and looking at all the traffic, and no, there is no way I can do this. Right? But once they have a father, a mother, a person that they trust, a caretaker that is very, very close and very, very trustworthy and holding the hand, all of a sudden doesn't see anything else. Right? All what he can see is what? The hand. So that I'll cross. You take me, you cross. And that's exactly what happened to Peter. Again, remember Peter with the walking on the water. Remember? Right? So that's why he is saying, like, well, I've been through all that. Right? I've been through all that. What else? Surrender and maturity. What else? Maybe give me a couple other things. Don't think of Peter, think of myself, think of yourself. Right? What is it that's standing between me and between really being able and willing to pay the price? Because that's how we follow him. The world, attachment. Yes, yes. So detachment would be the one that is on his mind. Like he came to the point of what? There's nothing there, right? Although he did it in a very, very literal way in the beginning, but that was still not quite perfect, right? When he left the boat and left the net and left everything and followed, but still there are too many things that he was still attached to, right? And throughout that 3.5 years and that journey, he started to actually be prepared to let go, detach. What else? How about confusion or clarity? Right? Like we're always confused. Like, I don't know what God wants from me, right? I don't know if this is from him or not. I hear this all the time. Like, how can I tell, right? Am I supposed to let go of this or not? Is this from him or not from him? Is this, right? What do you think? I'm not going to give you the answer because we'll talk about this more tomorrow. So stay tuned. But just something to think about, right? Just something to think about. That here, you know, when the Lord told him this passage again in John 21, right? When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Like, okay, well, how can I know is that person from you or not? I think that would be the first question that will come on his mind. Like you're saying that somebody else will come and, you know, dress me and take me somewhere else that I don't want to go, right? How do I know if that's what you want or not? He didn't ask that. Which is amazing, and it's very, very, very kind of actually puzzling, right? Like, how do I know if that person that's coming in order to tell me here is, you know, the way that you should go is actually sent from you, right? But he had very, very, very strong clarity, right? And I think it comes from being with him, right? From being with him, being able to hear, right? Lots of times, you know, I probably said this before, you know, one of the well-known preachers talking about submitting and surrendering and how to know God's will, and said, like, always we ask, like, where is God's will? What is God's will? Not knowing that we are in his will. We are in his will. How is that? What does that mean? Well, I can't ask what is your will and I'm totally living my life, right? Like, what will are you talking about? You know, I'm not living with him. I'm not able and willing to commit my life to him. I'm not giving him my heart. And then, okay, well, please let me know, what should I do? Well, who are you? Do you even know me to ask me? Or you're just asking because you want something, right? But for Peter, no, it doesn't work this way. And he learned that lesson before. Remember when he was, you know, when he told him, like, Lord, we left everything and we followed you. What is it for us? What are you going to give me? You don't know what you're talking about. Right? So the idea of clarity, or the idea of knowing God's will, and I know that's a huge big topic, but again, you know, we need to understand, I need to understand, need to remember myself that the idea of I cannot ask for clarity while I'm away from him. Right? I cannot ask for direction just because of certain topic or certain struggle or certain decision. And while I am away from him, well, come first. Right? Let's talk. Let's talk. And then you'll be able to figure it out yourself. Right? Remember when we were studying Hosea, right? And he said that he took her where? To the wilderness. Right? Beautiful Hosea. Took her to the wilderness, and there she learned, right? But come with me first, let's talk first. And in a way, Peter went through that wilderness, right? Remember, he just looked at him after he denied, and then he was what? I can't even take that look. He was weeping bitterly, right? But then he was ready, like, okay, I will stretch my hand. Whoever wants to dress me, let them do whatever. I have it. I know exactly where you want me to go. That's why he's talking here back again. If we come back again to the epistle here, you know, he's talking a very, very, very strong confidence, right? And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able to, at any time, to recall these things. You see language of very, very confident person, right? And knowing that, yeah, this is going to happen, but you know what? I know where I'm going. Right. What are your thoughts? Again, sorry, I talked again. So we talked about maturity, we talked about detachment, we talked about surrendering, and what else? Clarity. This is all in two verses, so bear with me. Yes, Steve.
The only thing that comes to my mind is that he's talking to Jesus is telling him to tend the sheep, tend his sheep, and then the lamb, and that sort of thing, which is a level of responsibility.
Yes.
Here he is talking to them, saying, remember these things. I'm here to tell you I'm leaving, but I'm wanting you to remember what I'm telling you, as to talking to the sheep and telling them, you know, continue on, and I'm here to help you. Jesus is telling him to do.
Right. Yes. Yes. And you see how that kind of reshaped his mind and his idea and his clarity again. If you go back again, since you're saying that, go back to John 13, 36, right? And put things together. Put things together. John 13, 36, the Lord is actually another one of those encounters with Peter. Like, I think the Lord at one point is like, enough of Peter, right? Like, you know. But thank God for that, because of this, we are all learning from this. John 13, 36, I hope I get it right this time. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And look at this. And compare this to John 21 and to what we're reading here. Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Like, you're not mature yet. You don't know where you're at. You don't have the clarity yet, right? You're not able to surrender yet. And it's amazing when he appeared, so this was before the cross, right? And then when he appeared to him after the resurrection, after his denial, and told him once again, you know what? Now, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. That's why he said, he's like, I can't wait to take off this. See all that playing on the language here, on the words, right? So at one point he said, like, where are you going? It's like, you don't know, you won't be able, but later, right? And maybe we are at this point right now. This is the beauty of that. Maybe right now, like, what? I can't follow you. The way you want me to follow, you know, maybe not now, right? Here we are talking to mainly young adults, sorry, David, Sherry, Nabil, and myself, right? But we have still the whole life in front of us, right? So what are you talking about? Coming to me today and tell me you have to die for the Lord? I still have this and this and this and this and this. And that is the actual challenge, right? Would these words kind of apply to us now? Right? Where I go, you're not able to follow me now. Or are we able to say to them, what? No, I want to follow you regardless. Whatever, which stage of my life, whatever decision, whatever life, whatever things ahead of me, it's fine. It's fine. Why? Because I have the clarity, I have the trust, I am surrendering, and I'm excited to follow you. And that's one of the things that comes out of this passage, the excitement of following him. You see from the word that he's telling them, it's not like, oh, I'm sorry, poor me, I'm going to die, and I don't know, no. Like, I just can't wait to take this off. There's very, very strong language here of what? Of excitement, right? Are we really able to do that or not? What does it mean? Again, I don't know. We need to be in his will so we can have that clarity, right? But the willingness to follow him regardless. Again, maybe we are at that point now, like Peter, like, what? Right now you can't follow me where I'm going, but later you will. So let's come to him and say, like, Lord, I'm still attached to everything. Again, I didn't mean to call you out, guys, but all of us, we are so attached to everything. But he's trying to say, you know what? No, I want you to detach. I want you really to be able to follow me. And the beauty of this epistle that he was able actually to understand that even before his death. He was able to actually make this experience a reason for the people to do what? To be strong, right? I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able. And before that, he says, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. I can't wait to take off that. This is actually the same language that St. Paul used in 2 Corinthians 5. If you look up 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 4. Same idea, which is amazing. Again, why? Because it's the Holy Spirit who speaks on the mouth of Peter, and the same thing on Paul. Right? So Paul says the same analogy, same everything, right? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, it says, For we know that if our earthly house, the tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And if you go to verse four, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed by life. See, it's almost the same word to word. Right? Why? Because that is the mindset of Christ himself. And that is the mindset that was planted and engraved in the mind of the apostles. And that is the mindset that should be engraved in our mind as his followers. Again, Abuna, this is so depressing. Like, we don't want to talk about departure. We don't want to talk about Exodus. Like, right? Well, it is the reality. And more we come to him, the more and more we'll be really excited about that. That the tent at one point, you can't wait to take off the tent. Why? Because we're longing for a tent or a city or a house that is not made by man, right? In order to do that, it doesn't come, you know, overnight. Like, oh wow, you know, tomorrow, it needs a lot of experiencing and tasting. What does that mean, right? Again, if I tell you now, you know, leave Minnesota and go to California. Okay, well, California is nice, nice weather, whatever, right? So I've been there before. I see it. I'm excited to go there, right? I'm ready to leave this, even if I leave family, leave friends, leave church, but I'm ready to. It's something that is exciting, right? If we are not able to taste what is it like to be with him from here, from now, how can we be excited? If all what we see is here, if all what we see is this, if all what we see is our future, our money, our career, our families, our relationship, all this is all that, that's all what's on our mind 24/7. We're not able to give any chance to experience something different. So when you talk about tent, like, no, I don't want this tent. Let you know, maybe for you, but not for me. This is not tent. This is, I'm here. This is my life. And that's what we say, right? That's what we say. This is my life. I'm so much, you know, in figuring out and in securing and in planning and in everything. But here again, remember these people at one point forgot that the Lord is coming, right? Which is again very, very relevant, right? Like, yeah, we know he's coming and we hear the things, but you know what? When it comes to practical steps, like, no, I don't want to prepare for that. Let me prepare for here, for now. And it becomes totally foreign concept. Thoughts? Let me pause for a minute here. Yes.
And I noticed that when I read the saints' stories, they're told ahead of time, even if they're not martyrs, you're going to be, you know, trying on this day or whatever. What's the role of that?
It's a great, great question. And why, what's the point of, again, Peter saying that the Lord showed me, right? Showed me, he declared to him. And again, you know, some people said that, you know, that was an actual vision, or like the Lord actually appeared to him and told him, you know, remember, you are doing this. Or that is actually what was on his mind from the beginning. Like, he knew that from the verses that we read, that he is actually like telling him, you know what, this is what's going to happen to you, right? You have control on your life now. At one point, you won't have any control, but follow me regardless. Right. What makes this more actually makes more sense is actually the grammar of the word itself. You know, the I probably mentioned this and explained this before. Has showed, it's in the Greek actually with the verb that is aorist, which is beyond the time. It doesn't have relationship with the time. It has relationship with the action. So as if he pointing back to the continuation that he has been showing me this all the time, right? So not exactly to a significant moment, Like, no, from the time he has been and he is continuing to show me that I am going to depart. Yes, shortly here, that means that he really know that something is going to happen, right? Yes, and I think, again, you know, we when people are really getting into that, you know, close to him and have that, God is giving them that grace of like knowing something. Here for this example, because Peter has actually a duty to do. So like, okay, this is gonna happen and you better, you know, make sure that the you deliver that message, right? So shortly kind of makes it more of like he knew exactly that something is going to happen, but the verb itself that has showed actually said, it means that he's been continuously telling me that I will depart, right? Right. And I think we can still definitely apply this to us. Like the Lord is always showing us that this life is not forever, right? That this tent at one point we have to take it off, right? Things happening, news, people who are close to us who depart, what everything that's telling us the idea that, you know what, let's long for the city that is not made by man, right? So the beauty here that he is actually able to take this, right? To take this. And that goes on to the even the word itself that he used, that my exodus is it's in the same verse, right? After my departure, that saying, the actual word is exodon in Greek, which is exodus, which is actually the same word actually that is used for in Luke 9:31 when he was talking about the transfiguration, right? Who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure. So he's saying the same language, right? Of his departure, of his exodus, exodus, right? And then definitely it brings us back to the exodus, 100%, right? In Hebrews also, Paul using the same thing, by faith, Hebrews 11:22, by faith, Joseph at the end of his life made mention of the exodus of the Israelites, right? Right? So the exodus, again, from the bondage, from the world into the promised land. But you still have to go through that wilderness in order to reach the promised land. Right. Any other thoughts or questions before I move on?
Maybe not the told explicitly when he died, because in the Greek for shortly is also speedily.
Yes.
And so he's told that he's going to die by being killed. It's not a natural death. So he knows he's not going to live a long life.
Yes. Because
he's going to be cut short at some point abruptly.
Roughly. Abruptly, yes. Exactly. Exactly. Be a sudden death, kind of like it's. Yes, it's not. It's not the aging, or it's not the, like, no, something will happen, right? Yes, yes, right. So he's trying to get that idea to them, right? Be ready. Be careful. I'm doing everything, and will continue to remind you of all those things, right? So again, you know, the reply or the reaction of the people at that time, like, well, how do you know that you are right? Okay. Again, if we don't want to believe something, we'll bring every reason to question it, right? As we say, it's my decision whether I believe or not. It's my decision whether I really take that idea of, like, you know what, I'm here for a short time and I have to be ready and have to see how and what God wants for me during that life that I'm living here, that I do not, that's why the beautiful verse, therefore, we do not live for ourselves, but to live for him who has died for us, right? So with that, the as if Peter is actually kind of reading their minds and knowing that they will actually question him, right? So in 15, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. And then he's actually giving what? approve of what he's saying, right? Two things, it brings two things, and they're two actually very much related to each other. So, for we did not follow cleverly devised myth, or as it's written here, cunningly devised fables. So he's telling them, you know, what I'm telling you now is not just something that is a myth, right? And it's amazing and surprisingly, the reason he's saying this, because during that time, there was lots of fables, lots of myths that are going around, especially with agnosticism, especially with the idea of aeons and knowledge and all those things, right? So he's telling them, like, I'm not just following one of those other myths that are floating around at the time. No, I have seen that myself, right? And that's another reason also, not just he's impacted by the language that he heard during the transfiguration, but he's using this also as a proof of, like, this is actually what happened, right? And he's so immersed in that, right? So bring it back to ourselves also as an application, you know, when maybe we're living that, not maybe, hopefully we are living that life that we are waiting for his second coming, right? And then, you know, a friend or a colleague or somebody or even family member, like, why are you doing this? Like, just, you know, you're still young, you're still doing so and so, you know, just go on and just, you know, do something, like, totally the opposite, right? So how can we prove to that mindset that, no, we are right. We have, this is the right way. We have to be ready. We have to look and we have to calculate everything in the right way. It is either I'm living faithfully and people can really see this, or I'm just actually following a myth. I don't know what I'm doing. I was told, you know, I went to that Bible study someday and I heard everyone saying this, so let's just kind of follow and see what's going to happen, right? And it can be very, very clear that it's not what genuine, right? So the other thing that I want to probably hint on today is our spiritual life, our relationship with him. Is it really a genuine relationship or is it fake? Does it really prove to people that all what we believe and all what we understand is real? Or is just, again, floating, deceiving myth, right? Philosophy. Again, there's a huge now confusion between Christianity as a life and as a, just another philosophy. Another religion, you know, it's a mindset. You know, they are saying this, and we are saying this, and we are saying this, right? So I'm just following what? Philosophy. And we can easily get into that mindset without knowing. Am I just following philosophy or living life? It's a huge question. I was sharing this with one of the, you know, catechism classes and said, orthodoxy is not a library to read, it's a life to live. It's very easy to say, okay, I'm interested in orthodoxy, yes, well, take this book and read this and read on the incarnation and read Athanasius and read Cyril and get all those things and come and meet with me. And we see, like, okay, I meet some people sometimes and they're probably more well-read than I in the church fathers, you know, like, you know, they have everything. And I read, you know, the Shepherd of Hermas, and I read this, and I read that, and like, who are these names even? I don't even know what you're talking about. Very, very well-read, well-rooted. But then when it comes to the practical life, again, are we living it or not? Again, orthodoxy is not a library to read, it is a life to live. Right? I can know all the knowledge, as St. Paul says, right? So if there is no love, there is no Christ. I don't know if you heard this before or not, but 1 Corinthians 13, you know, if you remove love and put Christ, it makes, you know, beautiful sense. Christ is not so-and-so. Christ is not so-and-so. Why? Because Christ is love. God is love. So I can do everything, right? I can know the tasbeha by heart. Right? That's the danger of that, honestly. But am I living it or not? That's another question. It's another question. And that's why here he's talking about this. We did not follow cleverly in the ESV, cleverly devised myth, when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. right? And then he goes on in the details. And then the other thing, just to go forward to cover those two things. So now again, he's telling them, no, what I'm telling you, that be ready, and he is coming, is not just, you know, something that I'm imagining. It's something that I am living. It's the core of my belief. And the proof of that, number one, I was with him, I was eyewitness. But then comes another thing, which is not quite, you know, as I was digging into this more and more and reading it more and more and studying it more and more, it made more sense the way I will try to explain it here, based on the language again. So again, 17, then go on to verse 19. I want to compare the translation because that it makes difference. Here it says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light and shine. So let's just stop at this. So here it says, we have the prophetic word what? Confirmed. In the ESV, it says, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. And this is more accurate than just confirmed, more fully. If we pay attention with me, so don't get lost. So here is saying, if we say that this is, and actually this is the right translation, the correct translation, that we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. More fully than what? Well, more, that means there is, right? So more than what? More than? Not more than the myth. There's no Gospels at that time. Yes, what is it? Let me again. The literal translation we have. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. This is eyewitness. It is his eyewitness. Is he saying, yes, I have the eyewitness. I witnessed that, but still this is what? One person. What is more confirmed than just my eyewitness is what? Remember, at this time, the eyewitness, there is no gospels. So it's just his words. But he's comparing his words with what? The whole prophecy that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So say, okay, I was there, but even if you don't, or you won't, or you don't like believing, there's something more than the eyewitness, which is what? The scripture itself. Athbat, yes, there is, again, that comparison, athbat, more confirmed, exactly, more confirmed. Athbat is exactly more confirmed, right? So saying, and this is very, very important point, you know, again, probably can talk about it more later. But the idea is, if again, back again to the clarity, right? What is more confirmed than anything else? It's the scripture. It's the word of God. Why? Because as he says later on, because it is every single thing is what? Inspired by the Holy Spirit. People just didn't write anything, right? So he is saying something that's really important, that, you know, I'm telling you again, just so we don't get lost. Be ready, the Lord is coming. In order to be ready, you have to acquire that life, live that life, life of virtue. Where would that virtue come from? Come from the Holy Spirit, from within, right? And because of that, you have to persevere. You have to fight for it, as he says, right? And because why? Because if you don't have this, you are nothing. You're blind, you can't remember, you can't do anything, you're basically useless, ineffective, useless, that's what he said, right? And with all that, remember that I'm giving you this because I know that this is true. And I lived it. And I know that my life is going to end, right? And the proof of that is not only because I heard those voices, but because this is the whole core of the Bible, of the scripture. Of the Old Testament now, because remember again, at this point, there was no actual gospel. So all what they have is the prophecies. And he's saying that all the prophecies is talking about that. So if you don't even want to believe me, while I am sure I was there and I'm giving you the the proof of that, believe what? The scripture. As beautiful fits together, the whole thing, and it's beautiful when you apply all this again to us, right? We, most of the time, we are waiting for a sign, back again to the clarity. We're waiting for a sign, right? While we have the whole scripture. I remember several times talking with young adults. I said, like, you know what, Abuna, I can't really make a choice whether I should take this offer or this offer. I'm just waiting for God to tell me something. And he doesn't. Like, he's not going to tell you. Right? Number one, again, as we're talking, are you living with him, first of all, or not? Are you in his will or not? Number two, you have all the scripture to tell you that the whole idea of the scripture is our salvation. It doesn't matter to him if you're going to go this or this, you're going to go to this company or this company. God doesn't care. He's going to use you regardless. But are you ready to have that mindset and to be ready for taking off that tent or not? Right? And then you have all the scripture as inspired by the Holy Spirit to tell you and to talk about the whole purpose of life, right? And you need to find that purpose whether you go here or here or here or here. And that's why we get lost with this. That's why, again, as we end this, you know, he's saying here that ending that chapter by that beautiful passage, which is, again, the other thing that is, we ourselves heard this very voice, but then he goes on, and we have that prophetic word, or the more confirmed. Don't try to look for sign. Don't like try to look, God, please show me, you know what, you know, back home, I say, you know what, she loves me, she doesn't love me. We take the rose and, you know, get this. And then we know, yes, God spoke to me through the rose. How idiots we were. No, he's speaking to us through the scripture to tell us what is the actual purpose. So don't try to find a sign and keep cutting roses. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men, again, here's the will of man, right? But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches, as he said, the Holy Spirit will teach you everything, right? Before you ask for a sign, before you ask for, give me, show me the way, let's see if the Holy Spirit is fiery or not. The Holy Spirit is speaking or not. And then we know. Then we know. God bless. Done with chapter one, finally. Again, the next two Saturdays, I'm out of the country, so there will be no study. 18th and 25th, we'll come back again on the 2nd. And then we'll do one time on the 2nd, and then after this on the 9th, we'll start the month of Kiyak. So we'll put a pause, you know, so we have one more time in the second piece. Or maybe we'll just take it as instead of starting a chapter, we'll see how that will play. But again, the 18th and the 25th, I'm out of the country. The 2nd will be here. The first Sunday of Kiyak is Sunday the 10th. So the 9th will be the first evening of Kiyak, God willing. And then we'll do the Vespers and praises as we always do. Wow. Time flies. God bless. And again, keep this in mind and keep the idea of, again, are we ready to taste and to take off the tent or not? Let's pray. Juliana, get the Urban from downstairs. It's on the table, that's on the plate, that's on the counter. I think so. In the name of the Father, Son of the Holy Spirit, and the name of the Father, we thank you, praise you, the Father, and thank you for this evening, thank you for the words that you send us. Thank you for your love, Lord, to continue to speak to us, Lord. Not tables, not myth, not anything, Lord, but your own words, Lord, that are full of life, Lord. As you said, life and spirit, Lord. Thank you for your hand of mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your love that you never give up on us, Lord, but always sending us a message, always reminding us, Lord, that you are coming. Always remind the Lord himself. No matter where we at and what we have, what age, what stage, what anything, Lord, no matter what you want us to be ready for, you. Put that excitement in our heart, put that clarity, put that maturity, put that surrender, put that detachment, Lord, so that we really stand before you, Lord. Say, Lord, amen, come. Lord, we have nothing in this world and other than you. You are the source of everything. You are the reason for everything. Pray, Lord, that you always give us that readiness, Lord. Pray for the whole world, for peace, for those who do not know you, for those who are away, for those who want to leave you. Lord, Lord. Hear our prayers, supplication, give us true repentance, Lord. For prayers of all your saints, praise and glory in your name, and through your blood, to shed the cross, hear us, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In Christ Jesus, thine the kingdom, the power, the glory, now and forever.
May the love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, the King of the Holy Spirit with you. Go in peace, peace be with you all. Amen. Have a good night.
Thank you, everyone.